Hello, this is Pastor Jeff Clay from the Ranch Church located in the San Ynez Valley. Thanks for listening to our weekly sermon podcast. This week we welcome guest pastor Aaron Savio, who brings a sermon titled The Truth. Pastor Aaron will be in John chapter 15. If you're ever in the San Ynez Valley, the Ranch Church family would love to meet you, or you can visit us at ranchchurch.com for more information.
But I just love this guy. You're going to love him, too. Give a big Ranch Church welcome to Aaron Savio.
Always. Well, good morning, church. I am so blessed to be here this morning. I'm convinced you guys have the best food in the in all of California. I'm serious. This is my first time here in Solving, and I have a newfound love for your bakeries. Paula's Pancake House, Leonardo's Italian, and of course for Ostrich Land. Who would have thought? Ostriches all the way up here? Not me. But I'm so blessed to be here. Thank you, Rick, for sharing the pulpit with me this morning. And the Soto family, thank you for your hospitality. I've been so blessed with this short trip, and I hope to make it up here again shortly. This morning, would you turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15? John chapter 15. This morning, I'd love to share with you a major truth that the Lord has been reteaching and reminding me for the past couple of months. And this study was actually inspired by a message that Pastor Rick gave at Calvary Chapel Bible College last October. And the Lord used this passage to radically rethink the ministries that I've been involved with. I've been in youth ministry for now 11 years. And worship ministry for about 10 years. And by the way, I'm so blessed by your guys' worship team. I haven't worshiped like that in ages. So thank you very much. Praise God. And you know, can I just say something? I love Calvary Chapel, right? But sometimes they can be a little bit too boxed in with worship. And what I'm used to, my dad has a four-square denomination and also a Calvary Chapel affiliation. So it's kind of the best of both worlds. But I feel like I'm home here. It's amazing. It's amazing that in the body of Christ, I can come up over almost 200 plus miles and feel like family. And it's because of Jesus. So thank you for that. But this truth is a truth that I've believed and I've read over and over again, but still I find myself not comprehending the depth of it and all the implications of it. And the truth this morning that I would like to share with you is that you and I cannot do anything of eternal benefit without Jesus. This truth is that you and I cannot do anything of eternal benefit without Jesus. The goal for this morning is to honor Jesus by letting him love, live, and lead through us. To help us in our goal, we're going to observe some truths here in John chapter 15. We'll hold our fingers there and jump to Colossians, and then we'll talk about an application. So three parts this morning, just some observations, a couple observations in John 15. Then we'll look at our hope and our help, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory. And then we'll talk about this application. How does this apply to our lives? Let's read John 15, 1 through 8. And if you don't mind, I'll read this twice because sometimes it takes a couple of times for my heart to catch up to what the Lord is saying. So I'm going to read this passage twice. John 15, 1 through 8. Our dear Jesus, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Once again, in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and there they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Let's pray once again. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your word. We're thankful that you've given it to us to teach us about yourself and to teach us about ourselves. And as we read your word, Lord, we know that your word is reading us, and we pray that it would do an evaluation of our hearts, that whatever is not pleasing to you, that you would reveal by the power of your word, and by your Holy Spirit, would you bring us to a place of confession and repentance. We thank you, Lord, for the power of your word, how it's sharp, how it pierces our hearts. We pray that even past our defenses, you would speak to the depths of our hearts where we desperately need you. So we take off the masks, we ask that you would go past our defenses, and that what we know not, you would teach us, what we are not, you would make us, and that you would magnify yourself, and that you would glorify yourself for our good and your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I am so very thankful that Jesus is the good teacher, amen? He's the good teacher, and as the good teacher, Jesus is patient and thorough in the lessons he desires his children to grasp. Jesus teaches us through his word, by his Holy Spirit, and by giving us life opportunities to solidify these teachings through hands-on experience. I remember reading these verses early on in my Christian life, but it wasn't until my first year of pastoral ministry that the Lord started to take what I knew here, coming from Bible college and studying all that stuff, and bring it down into my heart. And sometimes that's the hardest lesson, right? When you're here, but then it hasn't been transferred down to here, well, God is so patient and he's so generous by his grace, by giving us life opportunities to take these lessons and bring it down to our hearts. And then, in this extension, to our hands to be doers of the word. Well, I remember learning this hands-on. And back in Murrieta, California, I was a part of a youth ministry called On the Edge. And On the Edge is a youth discipleship program designed to take any and every student the Lord would call from any and all backgrounds and give them a safe place where they can learn God's word, understand God's will for their life, and be equipped and sent out to preach the gospel. And in this specific season of my life, in On the Edge, the ministry, the Lord is radically doing things, by his grace, of course. These kids were getting saved. They were prophetically praying for one another. The Holy Spirit was baptizing them. They were empowered by the Holy Spirit to start up Bible clubs and on their public school campuses. And they were just so re-energized by God. And in the middle of this mini revival of On the Edge in a summer program, I remember hitting this wall. The spiritual funk that I could just not get past. Have you guys been there? It's that season where everything is, you feel like you're walking through like murky water, right? Kind of the spiritual gunk. And you're frustrated at everything. Every little thing irritates you. Things that normally would just slide off your back would stick on you. And you just kind of feel like, I don't like that. And I don't like you. I remember hitting this wall, even in the midst of this little revival, and I was ready to quit. I said, this is way too hard. I'm just going to quit the ministry. I'm going to get a regular job, right? I said, this is just way too hard. I was frustrated at the ministry. I was frustrated at the Lord. I was frustrated at my teammates, my staff members, and I was frustrated at myself, and I had no idea what was happening. So I pulled the assistant director aside, Lucas Patton. He's actually now a youth pastor up north, too, which is awesome. And I was just venting, blah, blah, blah. I don't like this. I don't like that person. And it was sad because the Lord was doing something sweet and special. But I couldn't take part of it because I was hitting the spiritual wall, and I just wanted to give up. I said, after this week, I'm quitting. Here's the ministry. Here are the keys. I just don't want to do this anymore. My backup plan was to be a backup singer. So I was already, you know, looking up some talent things in LA. I'm like, I could do background vocals. He patiently listened to me, right? He patiently listened to me, and he was processing. You can see how he just wanted to interject, right? But he was patient. He was just listening. And he said, Aaron, you know, I hear you, and I'm right there with you. I don't want you to give up. I don't think the Lord wants you to give up. I want you to continue on in the ministry, but in this time around, do it in the Lord's strength. Whew. When he said that, everything clicked. I was hitting the spiritual wall because I had reached the end of my own wisdom, my own charisma, my own energy and passion. I was hitting that wall, and because I wasn't outsourcing this power, love, wisdom from Jesus, I was in this spiritual funk, and I could not get past it because I couldn't get over myself. So he patiently listened to me, and I remember going in as a confused, bitter man, and I left re-energized, and I left feeling heard and prophetically spoken to, because in that moment, the Lord revealed to me that I had been doing it all on my own. And by God's grace, he was blessing it, not because of me, but because he's great, amen? And he works in spite of our weaknesses. But everything clicked, and I said, you know what? Something has to change. Something has to change, or else I'm going to burn out in this ministry. I'm going to peter out, and I'm not going to be any more effective for the kingdom of God. So with Christ in the forefront of my mind and my heart, I asked the Lord for the first time, Lord, live in me. Like I know that you're in my heart, but live in me. Lord, would you lead through me? And would you love through me? And the goal again this morning is to get everybody to a place where we're honoring Jesus by surrendering our lives and saying, Lord, live in me, lead in me, and love through me for my good and your glory. And so let's look at some observations of where the Lord really solidified this message and how I was reminded with Pastor Rick coming to Bible college. And a couple of observations in John 15, 1 through 8. The first thing I want to point out is that Jesus gives us our purpose, okay? And this really declutters anything and everything we might want to put our hands in. He gives us our purpose. Jesus gives us our purpose, and our purpose is to glorify God by bearing fruit. Read with me again John 15, verse 5. He says, I am the vine, this is Jesus speaking, and you, or we, are the branches. Jesus tells his disciples and us believers today that he is the vine and we are the branches. And what is our job as the branches? To bear fruit. Simply bear fruit. He gives us a purpose. You are supposed to bear fruit. You know, and as I read and as I meditate on this passage, I'm reminded that God doesn't exist for my good pleasure. I exist for his good pleasure. And he gives us my purpose. He gives us our purpose. And we're supposed to bear fruit. We're called to bear fruit, notice that, not manufacture it. You guys get me on that? We're called to bear fruit, not manufacture it. To bear fruit is just to show it off. We are to display God's working in our lives. And take note, we can't try hard enough to bear fruit. We can't labor enough to bear fruit. We cannot muster enough strength to bear fruit. We cannot produce our own fruit. We are simply called to bear it. We're simply called to bear the fruit. And this is awesome, especially for those of you in ministry, because the pressure isn't on you, all right? The pressure isn't on you or me to perform to get the results. The pressure is all on Christ, and guess what? He's really good at his job. Our job is just to bear fruit. And so how do we bear fruit? Well, my second observation is we bear fruit by abiding in Jesus, the true vine. Our purpose, bear fruit. How do we do this? We abide in Jesus, the true vine. We know this. The word abide means to dwell. It means to make a home in. We are called to make a home in Jesus, in his will, in his presence. And what does that mean? We're called to have a personal relationship with him. I love that. I'm laying down all my religion. It's not about what I do or don't do. It's just my relationship with the Lord. We're called just to be with him, hang out with Jesus, modern day terms. Let Jesus into the inner depths of your heart. And he says, I'm going to abide in you, and you abide with me. We know we are in the Lord's presence. And we abide in his presence because he never leaves us nor forsakes us. But sometimes we kind of close certain doors in our hearts that, Jesus, don't go in there just yet. You can have the living room, but don't go into my bedroom, Jesus. You're not going to like it there. But the implication is that our whole heart would be open to Jesus. That whatever's on the throne would be dethroned, whether it be the world or yourself, and then Christ would be on the throne, ruling and reigning in your inner man, in the heart. Called to abide in Jesus. And notice that Jesus calls himself the true vine. Everyone say true vine. This means that there are false vines that we are tempted to abide in. You guys get me? Jesus is the true vine, so by implication, that means that there are false vines that we are tempted to abide in. As I look at my life and I evaluate, Lord, where are the false vines? Well, false vines in my life was money, success, the American dream, and even myself. Things that I trusted in, but I stayed in, and I saw that its end was death. There's no satisfaction, there's no fulfillment, there's nothing there for me. And those are false vines, things that promise life, but can't give it. And that's always the world, that's always sin, it always overpromises and underdelivers, amen? It will always deceive you. By faith, you can understand, I don't need to abide in that. I have the true vine. I have the true vine here. By the conviction of the Holy Spirit and his enabling grace, we are able to confront these false vines, these false idols, confess of them, repent of them, and dive deeper into abiding relationship with Jesus. I'm continually learning that my heart is an idol factory. You guys get me? My heart is an idol factory. If it's not one thing, it's another. And I'm so keen on, like, my hope is in Jesus. And then Monday morning, my hope seems to slip and fall and stick onto something else, right? And hope is a slippery thing I'm coming to learn. And it always has to be stabilized on the Lord. Your hope, your purpose, your existence is all in the Lord. So stay there, hope. Right? Stay there. And I think Solomon was onto something. He says, hey, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. He was onto something there. And Jesus said, you can't serve two masters, right? So you better check your heart before you wreck yourself, right? Check yourself before you wreck yourself. And so our heart is in here, but it slips and it falls. And we have to remind ourselves by the power of the Holy Spirit, by his enabling grace, to stay on Jesus. And that's what it is to abide, to confront these false vines that the Lord would reveal in your hearts and say, nah, I'm not going to settle for the lesser things. I'm an adopted child and so of the Lord, so I get to dwell in his presence. And so the false vines, nay. True vines, yay. And I get to stay there in that place, that sweet spot with the Lord. My next observation in this passage, very simple, is something that it speaks of God's character. You know, as Jesus is God, right, wrapped up in human flesh, he represents God, and he does it very well because he is God. What does this tell me about the character and nature of God, that he invites us to have a relationship with him? Oh, man, that we're loved. Really, God, you love me? Do you know the things that I think about? Do you see the thoughts? Do you really love me? The answer is yes. God fully knows you and fully loves you, and that's like amazing grace right there. Yeah, you know, I have four brothers, and I have to love them, right? But I don't necessarily like them all the time. Not so with Jesus. He loves you, and he actually likes you, right? And this is like, whoa, God, thank you. Thank you for that amazing grace that I'm fully known and fully loved. This tells me that the character and heart of God is for me. That Romans 8:31, what can I say to these things? If God is for me, then who can be against me? He invites us to be in an abiding relationship with him. We know in Hebrew culture, right, that eating a meal with someone, sharing bread together, was the second most intimate act apart from the marriage bed. And so Jesus is saying, hey, be in fellowship with me. Not the surface level fellowship where I'm just high and by, but be with me, and I will be in you. And he's knocking on our hearts. And we say yes to Jesus, he comes in. But I believe the work of sanctification is he works, he's knocking on the door of our hearts in the basement, and in the attic, right, and in the upstairs, and in the loft. He's knocking on these different doors, and Jesus wants to fully consume us as a living sacrifice. And Paul encourages that same thing, right? Because God so loves us, it's all about him. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is a reasonable act of service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God for your lives. He says, lay down your life. He says, put your life on the altar to be altered, right? Yeah. And that's, man, all because he loves us. All because he is for us. We say, yes, Jesus, inhabit my heart. The next observation in John 15, twice Jesus tells us that we cannot do anything apart from him, okay? And in Bible study, there's a law of repetition, right? And the law of repetition says the more things, the more times a certain principle or word is repeated, it derives much more depth and meaning, okay? So in these eight verses, twice Jesus tells us, hey, you can't fulfill your purpose of bearing fruit. You can't do anything apart from me. John 15, 4 and 5, let me read this again. Abide in me, Jesus is saying, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Jesus plainly says it, harsh truth. Without me, you can't do anything. Well, Jesus, well, I can do a lot of sin. That's true. Apart from him, I'm a really good sinner, right? But I can't do anything of eternal good, God-glorifying things without him. I can't do anything of eternal glory, of eternal benefit for myself or for others apart from Jesus. And guess what, guys? Nothing means nothing. You can't do anything, Jesus is saying, without me. Now, this is speaking to his disciples, people who have already decided that Jesus is the way. I'm going to follow him. But still, he has to teach them because we need to be coached through this. And we need to be reminded of this, that in our everyday lives, we can't do anything apart from him. Do you believe this? I believed it, but I didn't know the implications of it until God gave me life experience. And he continues to teach me. I don't stand here saying I'm a perfect vessel. You know, I've mastered this. No, I'm still a person in process trying to help people in process. And so I'm continually learning this. I'm continually believing this and understanding all of its implications. Do we believe this? Yeah. Now the next question is, do I live like this? It's one thing to believe, it's another thing to live, right? Even the demons believe, right? It says in James, but they don't live for the Lord. We believe, but now, Lord, oh, help me to live like this. So then, what is our hope? What is our help? Jesus, without you, I can't do anything. I can't fulfill my God-given purpose to glorify you by bearing much fruit. What is my help? What is my hope? This is the best part. Second part of our study, our hope, our help is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We know in context in John chapter 15, 14 comes before it, and part of 14 is talking about the helper, the Holy Spirit, who he's going to be with you, Jesus is saying, and then he's going to be in you, and then, wait for it, in Acts chapter 2, he's going to come upon you, and you're going to have that power, that dunamis power, and that's going to be your help and your hope. You can't do anything. I'm not going to leave you orphans. Hey, don't fret. I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm going to come to you. I'm going to be in you. This is our hope, our help, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Let's turn in our Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Colossians chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. This is the game changer, beloved of the Lord. This is amazing. Jesus says he can't do anything. What's our hope? What's our hope? Well, he doesn't leave us orphans. He's going to come into us. He will dwell with us. Colossians chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Pastor Paul, he says, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let me read it again. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This mystery in the Greek is something that was once hidden but now has been revealed at center stage. It was hidden from generations past, but now to the saints of God, it has been revealed to us. The riches of God's glory is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What is this great mystery? Christ in us. Christ in me, Christ in you. This is the hope of glory. Do you know, beloved of the Lord, that the fullness of the Godhead who dwelt in Jesus, whose spirit we have, actually dwells and resides in us? Whew, that's heavy. Do you know that the fullness of the Godhead who dwelt in Jesus, whose spirit we have, actually dwells and resides in us? This changes everything. This changes everything. Before, we could do nothing. We were empty. We were lifeless. We were wandering around with no purpose. We were like zombies, right? Walking to hell. We had no purpose. In fact, the Word of God says that we were enemies of the cross of Christ. The picture is that we had our weapons against God. We could do nothing. We were totally against God. But God, amen? But God, when he opened up our eyes to see that he is the Savior from sin and from his wrath, and we accepted him as our Savior and Lord, the scripture tells us that he, by the Holy Spirit, now dwells and abides in us. You guys know this. When we say, Lord, I give up, I ask for forgiveness of my sins, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, live in me. We know that he answers that prayer. The angels rejoice, and his Holy Spirit now resides in us, according to Ephesians. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. So we're saved at this point. This is awesome. Write down this verse reference, 1 Corinthians 3:16. Paul emphasizes his point, talking to the Corinthian church, not to sell ourselves or be loose with our lives. He says, hey, you belong to the Lord. He says, 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Do you not know, he says? Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? He repeats himself in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Paul says that we belong to him, and we are bought with the precious blood of Jesus. We are bought by Christ. And when I read these verses and I meditate, I have to confess my sin. Lord, I've been a robber. You've bought me, but I've taken my life back. And I said, I'm going to manage this. I'm going to be the Lord of this. And when I do that, I'm no better than a thief. And I need to repent and give my life back over to the Lord. Say, Lord, sorry for touching it. You know, in my surrender, I'm so apt to take a souvenir from my surrender. I'll just take this back, you know? But God's like, no, just surrender and leave it there. You belong to me. Okay? Jesus says, do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? The fullness of the Godhead dwells in you. You're not your own. You were bought at a price. And we know that 1 Peter tells us we're bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And that is the gospel. That God so loved us that he bankrupted heaven to purchase us. That he bankrupted heaven with Jesus' precious, perfect life. And he says, I'm going to do this so that when they accept the sacrifice, my wrath will be appeased and they can be with me now and for eternity. We are bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Last cross reference in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. To solidify this point, Pastor Paul says, since the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Again, that's Romans 8, 11. But since the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Guys, this is the game changer. Tying it all in, Jesus says, you can't do anything apart from me. What's our help? What's our hope? Christ in you. The hope of glory. I'm a youth pastor, right? So I have to do an illustration, right? Okay. I got some props yesterday as I was touring a Solving Beautiful place. I got some props, and, you know, if this prop doesn't work, it's okay. I'll find another one the next time I share this. But this one kind of fits, I think. This is the first glove. It's dirty. It's ratty. There's some holes in it. And this first glove represents our life before Christ. We're dirty, we're unholy, we're useless, we're powerless, there's no life, there's no depth, there's no value to this. No one wants to trade the sin for anything. We're ruled by sin and taken captive by Satan. And so this is how it goes, right? Satan, the snake, the deceiver of old, this little Satan guy right here, this little snake, got at the kid's store. He rules us, right? Because there's no life here. We're taken captive by the enemy. And so you know how life goes, right? Something like this in the battle of life, right? Here in this corner, we got lifeless glove. No hope, no help, nothing there. In this corner, we got Satan, the ruler of the dark, the king of this world, until Christ comes back, amen. Let the fight begin, ding, 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 pew, 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 right? Satan totally thrashes it, well, bam, 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 nothing, no fight, no help, no hope. Ruled by sin, taken captive by the enemy. But God, amen? Christ in us, the hope of glory. When this old glove, which represents our life before Christ, Lord, I need you. Be my God. Be my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. I believe that you are the Christ. I believe that God sent you, that God raised you from the dead. I need you in my life. Come and live through me. Lead through me. Love through me. The word of God says that the old man is put away, right? We are a new creation, amen? And so we are pure, right? We're holy. Now we have purpose. Now there's depth, there's value to us because we're bought by the precious blood of Christ. And what does the word of God say? He fills us with his Holy Spirit. Man, now there's animation. Where once there was no fight, now the story goes this way, right? In this corner, redeemed saint, beloved of the Lord, purposed, full of hope, full of glory, because Christ in you, the hope of glory. And in this corner, Satan, let the fight begin. We take Satan, we thrash him, right? Even before the fight begins, because what does the word of God say? It says you're more than a conqueror. What is more than a conqueror? Someone who already wins before the fight begins, because Christ in us, the hope of glory. So we were lifeless. We weren't abiding. But God, he animated us. He gave us purpose and depth. Before we could not help, but now we can help. Before we could not encourage, but now we can encourage. Before we didn't know the way, but now we can point to the way. Before we couldn't fight for our family, but now we can fight. Before we couldn't fight for our kids, but now we can fight for our kids. I don't have kids, but youth kids. I fight for my youth kids. If you're a mom or dad, now you're fighting for your kids. Grandparents, now you're fighting for your grandkids and on the generations below you. Now you're animated, now there's power because of Jesus. Now we're saved, and the word of God says we're like broken vessels. And so, unfortunately, broken vessels are leaky vessels. And we forget sometimes that Christ in us, the hope of glory, we start living our life. And we're still saved. I'm not saying we lose our salvation. But sometimes we get distracted by the things of the world, and we do our thing. And this is where I was. Remember in that story where I hit that wall? I was serving the Lord. I was saved, but I was, there's nothing there. Because I wasn't letting the Lord live in me, lead through me, love through me. But when my friend Lucas said, hey, do it in the Lord's strength, it reminded me, man, I'm not my own. I've been making my own plans. I've been strategizing this own thing apart from the Lord. That's why I was so spent. That's why I was so angry, because it wasn't inspired by God. And brothers and sisters, it's really foolish to do the work of God without the Spirit of God. Can I just say that? It's really hard. That's where bitterness comes from, and you know, you just blow up. But here we are. We have the choice now as redeemed brothers and sisters. Who's going to rule our life? Jesus, we know that we can't do anything apart from Jesus, but do we start our day, Lord, here I am. Whatever you want to do, do it. Because that's a prayer he won't ignore. He says, let's do it. You know, and so we're filled up in the morning when we have our devotions. And I would encourage you, when you have your devotions in the morning, when you get into the car, take Jesus with you, okay? That's what I'm encouraging my high school students. Great, you have morning devotions in the morning at your home, but is he with you at school? So just a side note, hey, start your day with Jesus, continue with Jesus, end with Jesus, right? Psalm 63, in the morning, I'm going to seek you, like in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, I'm going to seek you in the morning. And so on and so forth. On my bed, I will meditate on you in the night watches. So through and through, this psalmist, man, he had fellowship with God. That's available to us. 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He's in us. Are we letting him rule and reign in our lives? Are we honoring Jesus by letting him live through us, lead through us, love through us? Pastor Paul said it this way in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. Can that be said of you today? I'm dead to the world. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back. Have you put your hands to the plow and not look back? Have you, like Paul, can you say, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I don't live for myself. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Closing out an application, what does this mean for our lives? We no longer have to live defeated, powerless lives. We can walk in God's Spirit's power and anointing. And get this, guys, there's no room for boasting. Because the power is not in us, it's in the Lord, amen? There's no room for boasting. This power is all from God. This is why abiding in Jesus is the key to a successful Christian walk. How do we access this power and anointing to live life in victory? Before we abide in Christ, we must be brought to the end of ourselves. And in order for a branch to abide in the true vine, false vines need to be pruned out and cut out and confessed and repented. And we access this power by coming to the end of ourselves and allowing God to meet us there. I've heard it said that the highest mountain in life you'll ever climb is the mountain of yourself. And once you get over it, you'll find Christ there waiting. Are you ready to do this? And you can say, yes, Lord, I'm ready to do your will. When we daily surrender to the Lord, we can finally access that grace and empowerment to live the lives Christ has died for. Can I encourage you with something? Learn to lose to God. Learn to lose to God. The sooner you lose, the faster you win. Because in surrender, in giving up, we trade our own life, our old life, for his new life. And where we're limited in strength and wisdom, we trade it in for his eternal strength and wisdom. Guys, there's no comparison. Learn to lose to God. Wrestle with the scriptures, wrestle with your heart, but learn to tap out, and tap out quick. And let surrender be commonplace in your life. C.T. Studd, the famous pastor, right? Only one life, and it'll soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ shall last. I'm more convinced today than yesterday that we're closer to the Lord's second coming. He says at the end of Revelation, behold, I come quickly. Well, quickly is relative to the Lord. It's been 2,000 years, God, right? But we're sooner than yesterday. And so we can let go of the things and not hold on to the things of the world and say, Lord, I want to honor you by letting you live in me. Every depth of my heart, every facet of my mind, live in me. I want you to lead me, Lord. I'm not going to make my own plans. I'm going to put Proverbs 3 into practice. I'm going to trust you with my whole heart. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. In all my ways, I'm going to acknowledge you, because the promise is you're going to direct my path. Lord, lead through me. And then, Lord, spell out your love to the world that desperately needs your love. You know, God's so gracious, amen? The fact that he entrusts us with the gospel amazes me. He could do it way better, right? But he chooses, because he loves us, to have us participate in this saving ministry called redemption. And that gift of partnering up with God in whatever context it looks like for you is an amazing gift. Don't take advantage of it. Don't waste any more time. We've spent enough time in the will of the Gentiles, Peter would say, but now it's time to live for the Lord. Amen? Lord, we want you to live in us and lead through us and love through us. Father, we confess false vines. We confess the things we have invested in apart from you, and we say we're sorry, Lord. We're sorry for breaking your heart, for grieving the Holy Spirit. We want to come back to a place of surrender. We want to come back to a place of acceptance of your will for our lives. Lord, we pray that you would live in us, lead through us, and love through us for our good and your glory. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite the worship team back up. I asked them to play a song at the end because I feel that the Lord, in preparation for this sermon, I know from my own heart, was revealing a lot of vines, false vines. And I think in the context of worship is a beautiful place to confess those things and to, in your heart and in the softness and the safety of the music, to confess those things to the Lord and then receive his grace and forgiveness. And like the psalmist, I want us to be in this time asking the Lord, Lord, search my heart and know it. See if there's any wicked way. Try it and lead me in the way everlasting. God is so loving, and he loves us enough not to leave us the way we are. And so let's give the Holy Spirit room to search us and know us. Let's respond to his compassion, not condemnation. Let's respond to his compassion by saying, Lord, I'm sorry. Search me, know me, lead me in the way everlasting. And then receive that specific word of what repentance looks like, according to Scripture, in the context of your life. Maybe it's your family life. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your school. What does repentance look like? And Holy Spirit, would you ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, would you empower me to do that? It's a prayer he won't ignore.
Once again, thank you for listening to our weekly sermon podcast brought to you by the Ranch Church located in the San Ynez Valley. If you're interested in learning more about the Ranch Church or to donate, please visit our website at ranchchurch.com. And you can catch all our sermons on Spotify, iTunes, or via our website.